This is the Do It Scared podcast with Ruth Sukup, episode number 53. In today's very special episode, we are going to dive into the 7 fear archetypes and learn just why identifying your own fear archetype is so vitally important. Welcome to the Do It Scared podcast. I'm your host, Ruth Sukup, and each week on the show, we will talk about how to face your fears, overcome obstacles, and most importantly, how to take action and create a life you love. Today's episode is sponsored by the Do It Scared Confidence Challenge, our 5-day bootcamp designed to jumpstart your self-confidence and overcome fear. I am not even kidding when I tell you that this incredible challenge will change you in ways you never thought possible and help you overcome some of your biggest limiting beliefs in just 5 short days. Best of all, it's completely free to join. Simply go to doitscared.com/confidence to get signed up, and I will see you there. Hey there, and welcome back to the Do It Scared podcast. As always, my name is Ruth Sukup, and I am the founder of Living Well, Spending Less and the Living Well Planner, as well as the founder of Elite Blog Academy and the New York Times bestselling author of 5 very, very soon to be 6 books. In fact, my newest book, Do It Scared, is now available for pre-order everywhere. So if you haven't yet had a chance to snag your copy, be sure to do that because we have put together some incredible bonuses that you can claim over at doitscared.com once you order. And guys, I am not even kidding when I tell you that all 3 of these bonuses are so, so good. But I am probably getting a little ahead of myself here. So let me just say a little bit more about that in a little bit. In the meantime, whether you are new and just finding me for the very first time through this podcast, or whether you've known me for a while from Living Well, Spending Less or Elite Blog Academy, welcome. My hope is that this is a place where you will find new inspiration and motivation to move past the things that are holding you back so that you can create a life you love. In today's episode, I am finally going to share everything I've been learning over the past couple of years about fear, and specifically about the unique ways that it manifests itself in our lives. And I'm also going to explain why identifying your own unique fear archetype is so important, because it will finally give you some context that will allow you to start overcoming it. You see, over the course of my research for my new book, Do It Scared, my team and I surveyed more than 4,000 people about the role of fear in their lives, about how it plays out and how people push past fear. And what I was really interested in finding out is why fear holds us back, why it keeps us stuck, and why it prevents us from pursuing our biggest goals and dreams. But not only that, I wanted to figure out what we can actually do about it. And so what we are going to talk about today is the 7 unique ways that fear plays out and manifests itself in our lives, something I call the 7 fear archetypes. Because the reality is that not all fear is created equal. And what it looks like for some people, the way it plays out in our lives and keeps us stuck, is very different than for other people. And the more you can start to see your own patterns of behavior, the more you can understand your own fear archetype and see how it's playing out in your life, the better equipped you will be to start overcoming it. Identifying your fear is the first step in conquering it for good. And ultimately, that's exactly what this podcast is all about. It's about having the courage to look inward at where we're getting stuck, to face the fears that are standing in our way, and then to take action in order to get unstuck and create a life we love. Because courage doesn't mean that we're never afraid. Instead, courage is being scared, but taking action anyway, despite our fear. It's putting one foot in front of the other, even when we're not quite sure where that path is going to lead us. Okay, guys, so just one more quick thing before we dive into all of the practical application of today's episode. Today, I don't actually have a download that goes along with this episode, but I do have something even better for you, an assessment. Our Do It Scared Fear Assessment, which you can find at doitscared.com, will allow you to identify your own fear archetype, which we are going to talk about today. The free version of the assessment is going to give you your top archetype, or you can upgrade to the premium version of the assessment and get information on your top three archetypes, as well as your overall fear score. And actually, if you've ordered my new book, Do It Scared, you can claim our book bonuses and get the premium assessment for free. So that's really your best option. You can get all the information about the assessment or about ordering the book and getting all the book bonuses at doitscared.com. Or if you just want the show notes for this episode, you can get those by visiting doitscared.com/episode53. Once again, that's doitscared.com/episode53. But either way, go over to doitscared.com and get all the information. All right, guys, with that out of the way, let's dive in. Because you see, fear is a very funny thing. It's one of our most basic instincts. It's intended to protect us from all those dangers that might harm us, and it's intended to jolt us to action when a threat becomes imminent. Our fear is designed to save us. And believe it or not, a lack of fear in dangerous situations is actually considered a sign of mental illness. The reality is that sometimes we are supposed to be scared. And yet that same fear can also be an invisible chain that ties us down and keeps us stuck. Instead of keeping us safe, it paralyzes us and it prevents us from moving forward or from taking risks or from putting ourselves out there or from having the courage to follow our dreams and actually create a life we love. The very instinct designed to protect us also holds us back. And man, guys, does it ever? You know, I know that as well as anyone. See, fear has been a very real and very active part of my life for as long as I can remember. I'm scared of heights and I'm scared of looking like a fool. I get nervous in big crowds. I'm terrified of small talk. I'm always afraid that people aren't going to like me or that they're going to think I'm annoying or weird or not worth their time. I hate putting myself out there or being vulnerable. And I'm scared of failing or making a mistake and what that might actually say about me. And not that long ago, just the thought of having to speak in front of a crowd was enough to give me a panic attack. All that fear was standing in my way, just like it does for so many other people. In fact, over the past 9 years, as I've built up this business and navigated my own fears, and then also started talking with so many members in my community, I began to realize just how big of an impact fear has on all of our lives. In fact, over the past few years, I've had so many people come up to me and tell me things like they feel like they're sitting on the sidelines of their own life. They're afraid to go all in, terrified of making a mistake, terrified of letting people down, or of failing, or of being laughed at. They see things that they'd like to do, and yet they don't, simply because they're too afraid. But as I started diving deeper into this topic, I started to realize that not all fear is created equal. And don't get me wrong on this, because we're all afraid of something. We all have fear, and we are all impacted by fear in some way. But the way that fear manifests itself in our lives varies greatly from person to person. One person fears failure, while another person fears rejection. One person fears being held responsible, while another person is paralyzed at the thought of getting it wrong, whatever it may be. And so I started asking questions, and those questions led to even more questions until we had done this giant survey, surveyed more than 4,000 people, and we had so much data that I had to hire a whole team of researchers to help me make sense of it all. But in the end, there was one discovery that stood out above all the others. In fact, the moment it clicked into place, it almost took my breath away. And what's more, it made so much sense of so many confusing and unanswered questions. And that aha moment was the discovery of 7 fear patterns, 7 distinct ways that fear plays out in our lives, and specifically in the way that it impacts our willingness to step outside of our comfort zone in order to pursue a dream or opportunity. And because I like naming things, which you might know by now, I decided to call these 7 patterns the fear archetypes. And they include the procrastinator, the rule follower, the people pleaser, the outcast, the self-doubter, the excuse maker, and the pessimist. And that's actually where it gets really fascinating, guys, because you see, while each of us possess a few qualities of all seven archetypes, and I really believe that, most of us have at least one or maybe two dominant archetypes that affect us far more strongly than the others, and that plays out in our lives in a lot more noticeable ways. And just like fear itself, each of the seven archetypes has both negative and positive qualities, traits that can either help us or hinder us. And the fact that everyone experiences fear a little bit differently means that the path to overcoming fear will also be a little bit different for everyone. Thus, knowing the specific way that your fear plays out, your fear archetype, is essential to knowing exactly how to move past that fear. And so today I want to spend a little bit of time going over each of these seven fear archetypes and the underlying fear of each one. And I know this is going to be a little different than most of these podcast episodes, but the important thing to remember as you listen and perhaps start to recognize your own patterns or the patterns that people you know is that while most of us have a little of each of these archetypes, there will generally be one or two that is most prevalently affecting your life. So as you listen, try to identify which ones are resonating most for you. And then be sure to go and take the fear assessment at doitscared.com to find out whether your hunch was accurate. So are you ready? Let's dive in. The first fear archetype is the procrastinator archetype. Now, the procrastinator archetype is also known as the perfectionist. And that's important to know because a lot of people, when they hear that procrastinator title at first, think, no, that's not me. I'm not a procrastinator. But the perfectionist slash procrastinator archetype struggles most with the fear of making a mistake, which often manifests itself as a fear of commitment or a fear of getting started. And because they are so terrified of making a wrong move, the procrastinator looks for and often finds any number of perfectly legitimate reasons not to begin or not to try at all. Now, ironically, on the surface, the procrastinator often exhibits behavior that seems to be the complete opposite of procrastination, such as planning things far in advance or trying to work ahead. And it's important to realize that for the procrastinator, procrastination doesn't necessarily occur in the traditional sense of simply putting everything off until the last minute. Instead, the procrastinator wants to avoid making any mistakes and will therefore try to give him or herself as much time as possible for a task. Now, as a general rule, when push comes to shove, the procrastinator is afraid to act and can often find themselves paralyzed by indecision, especially when that decisive action must be taken quickly. The procrastinator prefers to spend an inordinate amount of time researching, planning, or getting organized. And while this high level of preparation can be advantageous sometimes, it can also be a hindrance. It can be something that stymies your progress when the research, planning, and organization becomes a substitute for taking action. At their core, procrastinators are terrified of messing up or making a huge mistake, especially one that cannot be reversed, and that intense fear can prevent them from moving forward towards their goals and dreams. They often require an outside influence or a deadline to compel them to act, and left to their own devices, they will sometimes put things off indefinitely. Now, bear in mind that it's not all bad, though, because the procrastinator's desire for perfection fuels a drive for high achievement. They tend to value excellence and they hold themselves to a very high standard, which generally results in a very high quality of work. The procrastinator is very good at tasks that require a fanatical attention to detail or extreme diligence in preparation. And what's more, the procrastinator's diligence in research and preparation often results in fewer errors and a better end result. Now, you'll know that you might be a procrastinator if you maybe feel like things are never done or never quite ready, or maybe if you like to plan things way in advance, or if you have trouble committing or saying yes to things that are outside of your comfort zone. The second fear archetype is the rule follower archetype. The rule follower archetype struggles most with an outsized fear of authority, a fear that often manifests itself as an irrational aversion to breaking the rules or doing anything that might be perceived as not allowed. They can often be a stickler for doing things the way they're supposed to be done. And just the possibility, just the thought of getting trouble, even when the potential punishment is only imagined, can sometimes be enough to prevent the rule follower from taking action or moving forward. The rule follower tends to see the world in black and white and tends to feel anxious anytime they sense themselves or other people stepping outside the norms of acceptable behavior. They can be somewhat preoccupied with making sure that other people are making good decisions and can maybe even sometimes be perceived as nosy. At his or her core, the rule follower believes that if things are not done according to the rules, chaos will ensue. The mindset is that many things in life are just the way that they are and shouldn't be questioned and shouldn't be changed. The rule follower feels energized when he or she is proven right or when a decision that they've made is shown to be correct. Rule followers will often forgo their own best judgment in favor of following the rules because their irrational fear of stepping outside the lines overrides everything else. This fear can prevent rule followers from taking action towards their goals or dreams. They are often afraid to trust their gut or to take action that does not feel clear and straightforward. Now, rule followers tend to be somewhat conformist, and they can also be somewhat rigid. They like to know that there is a right way to do things, and they take comfort in following the established norms. They are uncomfortable with the idea of thinking outside the box or forging their own path. And they can sometimes be pretty judgmental towards people who don't toe the line like they do. On the plus side, the rule follower tends to be responsible, trustworthy, and very loyal. They tend to be exceptionally diligent, thorough, and stable, as well as thoughtful and considerate, and can usually be counted on to look out for other people. They also have a clear sense of right and wrong, excellent discernment, and a strong moral code. You'll know that you might be a rule follower if you like knowing that there is an established protocol to follow, or if you strongly prefer for things to be done the right way, or if you spend a lot of time worrying about regulations and things not being done correctly. The third fear archetype is the people-pleaser archetype. Naturally drawn to seek the approval of others, the people-pleaser archetype struggles most with the fear of being judged, which also manifests itself as the fear of letting people down and the fear of what other people might say. Essentially, the people-pleaser's biggest concern can often be summed up as a fear of how others may react. Now, because the people-pleaser is so afraid of being judged or worse yet, mocked or ridiculed, and because the people-pleaser is acutely aware and fearful of how others might react or what they might say, he or she can sometimes be hesitant to move forward or find themselves crippled with indecision and feel unable to take action. Above all, they do not like the thought of making a fool of themselves. Now, while people pleasers might not always consider themselves extroverted, they're often popular and well-liked. Because they are hyper aware of how they might be perceived, they tend to choose their words carefully or sometimes even hide their true feelings about a subject if it seems to go against the general consensus. That said, the people pleaser can often be gregarious, funny, and engaging, the life of the party, which can also be a way of winning approval from others and being liked. He or she may put a great deal of effort into their appearance, as well as be concerned with status symbols such as having a nice car, a nice home, or designer labels. The people pleaser can sometimes get into the habit of being a yes person, a person who always agrees and may even shift his or her own viewpoints to go along with someone else. They like to get along, and they're reluctant to do anything that might cause anger, disappointment, or hurt feelings. The people pleaser sometimes has a really hard time saying no or setting limits or establishing healthy boundaries because they're so afraid of letting other people down. Now, while these characteristics can be a good thing, they can also result in people pleasers frequently becoming overcommitted or allowing other people's priorities and requests to override their own goals and dreams. And that can sometimes lead to deep feelings of resentment or bitterness that will sometimes bubble to the surface in unexpected ways. Of course, people pleasers have a lot of good qualities too. They are usually among the nicest, most thoughtful, and most generous people around. They are caring and considerate and often go out of their way to help. They tend to be popular and well-liked and are often funny, friendly, and engaging. You'll know that you might be a people pleaser if you are often worried about looking foolish or being judged, or if you worry about letting other people down, or if you struggle to disagree when other people share an opinion. The fourth fear archetype is the outcast archetype. The outcast archetype struggles most with the fear of rejection, or a fear of trusting other people. A fear that often manifests itself by rejecting others before he or she has a chance to be rejected in return. Ironically, to outside observers, the outcast often appears to be fearless, the quintessential rugged individualist, a person who doesn't care what others think and who isn't at all afraid to forge their own path, to speak their mind, or to think outside the box and do things differently. Inwardly, though, the outcast often harbors a core belief that other people can't be counted on or trusted, and tends to view even the mildest slight or dismissal as a confirmation of that belief, which in turn causes the outcast to reject others even more frequently. Even in situations where it's not personal and where they are not actually being rejected, the outcast will often assume the worst. And because they view themselves as unworthy of love and acceptance, outcasts are often desperate to prove themselves to the world, whether it be through notable accomplishments, making money, social status, or extreme behavior. The outcast tends to be a nonconformist, someone who rejects rules and limitations in favor of doing their own thing. He or she does not like to be conventional and instead prefers to figure things out on their own. Again, from the outside, this makes the outcast appear to be somewhat fearless, when in fact this "I don't care" attitude is often a way of rejecting other people before they can be rejected in return. When taken to the extreme, the outcast persona can sometimes result in self-destructive or criminal behavior. Because outcasts have a tendency to see the world as conspiring against them, they feel very little obligation to color within the lines. As a result, outcasts can be selfish and narcissistic, seeing life from only their own point of view, and they sometimes struggle to show empathy. Outcasts tend to have strong beliefs and opinions and are not generally afraid to share those opinions. On the contrary, outcasts will sometimes use polarizing or controversial statements as a way of pushing other people away or rejecting those people before they can be rejected in return. On the plus side, outcasts tend to be driven, self-motivated, and determined to succeed, even if it's only to prove themselves, which means that outcasts are often very successful. Their persistence keeps them going even when many other people would quit, and they are also willing to take more risks than most people. You'll know that you might be an outcast if you're not afraid to do your own thing, but you do have a hard time trusting people, or if you find yourself pushing people away and not letting them get too close. The fifth fear archetype is the self-doubter archetype. Often plagued by a deep and sometimes hidden feeling of insecurity, the self-doubter struggles most with the fear of not being capable, which often manifests itself as the fear of not being good enough, whether good means smart enough, talented enough, educated enough, pretty enough, fast enough, strong enough, well-spoken enough, cool enough, or any other number of enoughs. Because self-doubters are so worried about being qualified or capable, they can be crippled by insecurity and uncertainty, to the point that they are unable or unwilling to take any action at all. The self-doubter constantly hears a voice in the back of their head that whispers things like, "You can't do this," or "You're not capable," or "What makes you think you could do something like that?" This voice causes the self-doubter to constantly question their self-worth and to put themselves down. Interestingly, self-doubters sometimes try to hide or compensate for this insecurity by being hypercritical and judgmental of others. They project their own feelings of not being worthy onto the people around them, particularly the people closest to them, who may be taking risks, going after their goals and dreams, or putting themselves out there in some way. As a result, self-doubters can sometimes come across as snarky or sarcastic. Self-doubters may also struggle with intense feelings of jealousy towards people, especially towards people who are doing the things that they wish they could do if they weren't so afraid of not being capable. Again, this jealousy may manifest itself in the form of sarcasm, gossip, or criticism. This propensity towards jealousy and criticism, which ultimately comes from a place of feeling unworthy, can have a very adverse effect on relationships. Ironically, others close to the self-doubter may feel like they can never measure up to the self-doubter's expectations, which causes them to pull away. And this, in turn, reinforces the self-doubter's belief that he or she is not good enough. Guys, it is a vicious cycle. Because the self-doubter harbors a deep feeling of insecurity, he or she is often hungry for praise and reassurance, sometimes insatiably so. The self-doubter craves validation and needs to hear frequent words of affirmation in order to help build up their feelings of self-worth. But on the flip side, the self-doubter has some very positive qualities too. They can be humble, self-effacing, and completely unpretentious. They're generally not boastful or prideful and don't have an overinflated ego. The self-doubter is often an exceptionally hard worker and sensitive and concerned with how other people feel. You'll know that you might be a self-doubter if you frequently struggle with feeling unworthy or unqualified, or if you tend to be hypercritical of yourself or of others. The sixth fear archetype is the excuse maker. Also known as the blame shifter, the excuse maker archetype struggles most with the fear of taking responsibility, which can manifest itself as the fear of being held accountable or the fear of being found at fault. Because the excuse maker is terrified of having the finger pointed in their direction, he or she frequently looks for an excuse, someone or something to blame for why she can't do something or why his circumstances are what they are. Often these reasons and rationalizations appear to be completely valid and legitimate, which can sometimes make it hard to pin down the fact that the excuse maker is shifting blame and avoiding responsibility. The excuse maker is extremely adept at diverting focus and attention away from themselves and their own culpability to other people or circumstances. They are masterful rationalizers, always seeming to have a reason or an explanation for why they weren't able to accomplish something. The excuse maker can be uncomfortable in a leadership role and tends to get nervous at the idea of being in charge, taking risks, or putting themselves in the line of fire, instead preferring to defer to the judgment of others. When it comes to making changes in their life or pursuing goals, the excuse maker usually, though not always, prefers to follow the example or guidance of someone else, such as a mentor, a coach, or a teacher. They pay close attention to what has worked for others and try to follow suit. The excuse maker tends to get a little bit uncomfortable when put on the spot or when asked to share their opinion or thoughts, for fear of being held to that opinion or blamed for an unfavorable outcome. In fact, they will often wait to share their own thoughts until others have shared their viewpoints and then will defer to someone else's judgment rather than take their own stance. Ironically, the very nature of the excuse maker archetype, the tendency to avoid taking responsibility or to make excuses, makes it one of the more difficult archetypes to own and accept because this archetype's default tendency is to make excuses that deflect culpability. But on the plus side, excuse makers can be excellent team players and are often great at collaborating and working with others. Because they are excellent learners and students of life, they are adept at metabolizing lessons from the successes and mistakes of others. They can also take direction well, and when paired with the right mentor or teacher, they can accomplish remarkable things. Excuse makers are good cheerleaders and often very supportive of others. They have an ability to make other people feel and believe they are capable of doing great things. They also tend to be keen observers and have very good insight. You'll know that you might be an excuse maker if you frequently find yourself looking for ways to avoid blame or if you always have an explanation for why you aren't able to do something. And then finally, the last fear archetype is the pessimist archetype. Often a casualty of circumstances outside their control, the pessimist archetype struggles most with the fear of adversity, which often manifests itself as the fear of struggling through hard things or the fear of pain. Because the pessimist has experienced some sort of hardship, tragedy, or adversity in their life, either recently or in the past, they have a legitimate reason to feel victimized. But allowing themselves to stay in that victim role is exactly what keeps the pessimist stuck. Because they are so afraid of adversity and hardship, and because they feel like they lack control over their situation, pessimists are easily waylaid by any difficult or challenging circumstances that come their way. Instead of seeing obstacles as an opportunity for growth and perseverance, pessimists view their tragedies and hardships as legitimate reasons to give up or to not try at all. Pessimists are often unable or unwilling to face their circumstances head on, instead preferring to hide to avoid additional pain. Ironically, this response often makes things worse. It can be really difficult for the pessimist to get perspective or to see beyond their own pain, hardship, and difficult circumstances. It may feel like everyone else has it easier or that they've gotten the short end of the stick. It's also likely that they can't see their own victimness. The pessimist can sometimes come across as bitter, and they often feel like they have been dealt a worse hand than other people, which then leads them to think that life is fundamentally unfair. The pessimist also believes that they are a victim of their circumstances and that they lack control of their own destiny. Not surprisingly, the very nature of the pessimist archetype makes it one of the most difficult, if not the most difficult, archetype to own and accept. In fact, the most common reaction to finding out that one is a pessimist is anger, denial, or taking offense. No one wants to see themselves as a victim, even if that mentality is exactly what might be keeping you stuck. And yet, it's not all bad. Pessimists tend to be sensitive and super big-hearted. They are often told that they wear their heart on their sleeves and that they feel things more deeply and intensely than other people do. Because of this, they are usually incredibly caring and compassionate and kind, and also possess a lot of empathy for others. They are also usually quite social, are good listeners, and can be incredibly thoughtful and reflective. You'll know that you might be a pessimist if you struggle with bitterness towards other people or unfair circumstances, or if you tend to feel like there's no real solution for your problem and therefore you would rather not try at all. Phew! And that, guys, in a nutshell, is the seven fear archetypes. The procrastinator, who most fears making a mistake, the rule follower who has an unhealthy fear of authority and not doing things the way they're supposed to be done, the people pleaser who most fears being judged or letting other people down, the outcast who most fears rejection, often rejecting others before they can be rejected in return, the self-doubter who most fears not being capable, the excuse maker who most fears taking responsibility, and finally, the pessimist, who most fears pain and adversity. So what do you do with this information? And why does it matter? Well, it matters because it's only once we identify the type of fear that's negatively impacting our life, holding us back, or keeping us stuck that we can actually do something about it. We can't fix something without first knowing what the problem is. Without a diagnosis, there can be no cure. But once you do know where fear is holding you back, once you've started to identify those patterns in your life, you can also start to take action. And in 2 weeks, we are going to take a deeper dive into the next step that you'll need to take in your life. And that is adopting a new set of principles, the principles of courage that will help you move past fear and get unstuck. In the meantime, don't forget that if you would like to take the fear assessment, or if you want to pre-order the book so that you can get the premium report for free, you can get all of the information on our website at doitscared.com. Pretty easy to remember, just go to doitscared.com. And then before we go, I just want to say, as always, that I love hearing from you. So if you have any questions about what we talked about today or any other topics that you want to see addressed on the Do It Scared podcast, please feel free to reach out either via email or just by messaging me on Instagram. And that about does it for this episode of the Do It Scared with Ruth Zuka podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. And if you liked what you heard, you can leave a review on iTunes or, better yet, share this episode on your Insta story and tag me to let me know. If I repost your story, we will send you a Do It Scared t-shirt just for fun. Also, be sure to subscribe either on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you like to listen to be notified of new episodes. And speaking of upcoming episodes, be sure to join me next week as we continue chatting about fear and how to overcome it with my good friend, renowned performance coach, Todd Herman. Oh my gosh, you guys, I am so excited about this episode. I can't even tell you. Todd is a creator of the 90 Day Year, as well as the best-selling author of the amazing new book, The Alter Ego Effect. And oh my goodness, he has so much insight to share about how you can access the heroic self that already exists inside of you. And guys, this one is a must listen. It is going to be so good. I do not want you to miss it. Set your calendar, set your alarms, set whatever you have to do. You definitely need to join me next week. It's a good one, and make sure you block out a lot of time because it's a long one too. And I will catch you then.